Okay, so today we have a little different day. We're going to be conducting a mini workshop, and for that I'm going to introduce Mark so he can lead us in what we're going to be doing tonight. I'll see you all in a minute.
Thank you, Nora. My name is Mark, and I'm an alcoholic. Welcome once again to the Valley Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. Today we are... Today we are celebrating the seventh birthday of this group. And if you know your AA history, you will remember this day when that humble communications guy started a small meeting in this very place so many years ago. Let us all join in singing the song, Happy Birthday. Not yet. Now, if you don't know the words, just mumble along the same way you do when we say the third step prayer. 1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Valley Group. Happy birthday to you.
Feature a speaker sharing his or her own unique message of recovery through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Recovery is one side of the AA triangle. The others are unity and service. Today our topic is service in Alcoholics Anonymous. To explore this, we are going to hear from the people that make this meeting happen every week. Each will share what their job is and what it does for their recovery program. Each member will take questions, and we will have as many share as time permits. After the meeting, please stay for our business meeting so that you too can be in service with Valley Group. And now, ladies and gentlemen in attendance and sober alcoholics around the world, let's get ready for welcome, please, our founder and director, Bill H.
Hey, thank you, guys. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Bill Hatzman. And Mark was preparing all of us. Mark's a tremendous, tremendous part of this group. And if you've been here long enough, you may recall when he was up here. Yeah, let's give Mark a round of applause. For good measure of time, we had Mark up here leading our group every week the way Nora does now. And I don't know about you guys, but I was always entertained. He always had a great way of bringing something new and exciting to us. So he was preparing myself and my peers here for what we're gonna do tonight. We're going to try to share with you a little bit about our experience in serving this group. Our hope here is that you might get an idea what it takes to do some of these jobs. Maybe more importantly, you can get an idea of how completely imperfect you can be and still do a pretty decent job at some of these service positions. And we hope to also impart with you some of the ways that that our lives have been improved as a result of the commitment that we've, the investment we've made in these service positions. So I'm here to talk just briefly. I've only got a few minutes, but I'm here to talk to you about the person who starts a group, right? So what do you do about starting a group? What kind of things do you need to think about? What kind of things do you need to do? And I think the thing that I would I want to start off with this. Today I'm celebrating, and I'm really trying not to have a resentment that you don't have a chip for this, but it's 29 days, 4 months, and 9 years since my last drink today. And this group is celebrating tonight the anniversary of our 7th year. So 7 years ago today, when I had 29 days, 4 months, and 2 years, we started this group. So that'll tell you one thing. You don't have to have a whole bunch of experience staying sober to start a group. You just got to be, willing. There's a nice word. I was going to say crazy, but willing. So I was just trying to kind of think of some things about what you might want to consider if you decided that you wanted to start a group. Some of the things that I tried to consider when we thought about starting this group, and the first thing I would suggest that we have to consider is whether or not the group has a purpose, right? So what is the purpose of an AA group? And if you read the literature, you know, the purpose of AA as a fellowship is to help the suffering alcoholic to find a way to live sober. So it's not about me maintaining my sobriety. It's about trying to show others who have not yet found a way to stay sober how they can do that. And in terms of a purpose, you know, there's a question that I think can be helpful to ask, and that is, what will this group do? If you're thinking about starting a group, what is it that your group is going to do that isn't being done? Right? Otherwise, why start it? I mean, why are you going to put in your effort to start a group? And I'll tell you the reason that that I felt that this group had a place was because I had the opportunity to visit some groups in some larger cities. This group, if you don't know this, is largely formed, it's largely shaped after the Pacific Group, which is in Los Angeles, the Bellflower Big Book Group, which is in Bellflower, also in Southern California, and the Sunrise group in West Hollywood. And what I saw in those groups was a very vibrant, active fellowship. I saw a bunch of members of Alcoholics Anonymous who felt like they had some ownership in what was going on, and it looked to me like there was some really good recovery happening there. And what I saw happening at the meetings was they were inviting people to come and spend a little bit more time than usual, say 30 to 40 minutes, maybe a little bit more than that, sharing with you their experience in what it was like when they were drinking, what happened that allowed them to stop drinking, and what their life is like today, right? And the whole idea there is to relate to the suffering alcoholic and to show them that there is hope, there is reason to have hope that your life too can change. And I don't know about you guys, but when I attend a lot of meetings, I might hear 3 to 5 minutes of somebody share, and then they pass at most of the discussion meetings. There wasn't a lot more than 3 to 5 minutes that I was hearing out of somebody who was sharing at a meeting. This meeting, I felt, gave us an opportunity to let you get to know somebody who's gone through the 12 steps, who's had an experience in recovery, and then perhaps you could find, you may find yourself asking that person to be a sponsor for you. And so I thought that was the purpose for starting this group, was to give the newcomer an opportunity to get to know some of the members in our fellowship a little bit better, get to know a little more of their story, get to find where they relate, where they connect. And you'll be surprised how many times after this meeting you'll see women and men stay back and talk to our speaker or talk to others here at the meeting. And many, many a sponsor relationship has been started here. And I couldn't ask for anything more. So once you decide you're going to start a group and you have some kind of purpose, there's a couple other things you might want to consider. One is a place. There are lots of different places you'll find AA meetings. They're held in treatment facilities such as Pine or New Visions or New Hope, those kinds of places, as well as in some cases you'll find them at other types of facilities like Turning Point, for example. We also have recovery clubs like the Alano Club. A lot of meetings are held at churches. Have you noticed that? And there's other meetings that are held at civic centers or civic organizations like the Red Cross or other similar types of organizations. Have you ever been to a meeting in a park? Believe it or not, there are meetings that take places in parks. Yeah, so you don't even have to have a building. There are other auditoriums that host meetings. In fact, I've even hosted and I've been a guest in other people's homes. for meetings. So even your own home could be the place for a meeting. And one place that you might not have considered is, believe it or not, there are many AA meetings in some locations that are held in bars, believe it or not. And I know that might sound really kind of silly, but we're a silly bunch of people, aren't we, sometimes? So a lot of considerations that go into the kind of place that you want to select. Cost is going to be a big one, right? So our traditions tell us that we do take financial responsibility for our fellowship, and we do pay rent. What's interesting is most of the organizations that will host us, so like the Creative Center here, they make very liberal terms. We pay, if you don't know this, we pay $24 a night when we rent here. That's really not a bad rate. It's a pretty good rate. Some of the facilities, when you start to get larger in scale, require insurance. So that's something that you should be considerate of, depending on how big of a facility or how big of a meeting you might want to grow. Accessibility is also an important one. I know there are some meetings that have been started off in kind of remote locations, and people have a hard time, people who depend on public transportation have a hard time getting there, or people who have mobility challenges, right? Wheelchairs, other key things like that. So those are some of the things that you should consider about the facility that you look at. I'm going to touch on a couple other ideas. One is relationships. Relationships, I've found, are going to be very, very important to a group, right? So those relationships start off usually with a relationship that you can have with the facility itself, right? With the church, with the civic center, auditorium, whatever. You're going to need to make sure that they feel like you're going to be a trustworthy tenant, that you're going to take care of their property, and you're going to pay them the rent that you promised to pay them on time. You're going to want to make sure that you keep the facility clean and in good repair, right? I've always been taught, I think this was actually more of a Boy Scout type thing than it was anything else. I was always taught that if you return something in better shape than when you borrowed it, the chances of getting to borrow it again are pretty high. And so we try very hard in this group to make sure that when we leave every night, we leave it at least as clean, if not cleaner, than it was when we got here. And we depend on you guys to help us with that, and we thank you, because we've had 7 years of good track record with that. We also, in some facilities, you'll have neighbors, right? So neighbors can be like residences that are across the way. So if we're noisy or if we have a lot of people congregating out in the front and leaving cigarette butts and things like that, that can be an unwelcome kind of impact on the neighborhood. We here have, from time to time, we'll have people that are using the theater next door. And when they're using the theater, parking starts to get a little bit tight, right? And they hang out on their stoop, and we hang out on our stoop. And sometimes our groups kind of, you know, can get kind of close together. And so we just want to be good neighbors. So keeping in mind all those things. And then the other relationships that I found it to be critically important to maintain are relationships that we have with the people we're trying to serve. Right? So our members, the people who come here, as a leader in a group, I want to be sure that what we're doing as a group is something that you want in that group, right? And so we've made a very conscious effort to have relationships with the staff of some of the treatment facilities here in town. We've made arrangements. We've even gone to our other meetings and solicited people to drive for some of the treatment facilities so that the tenants could get here. So those are all some of the kind of relationships that we foster. In terms of the people in the fellowship, I have found that for a group to be successful, you're going to have more than one leader doing everything on their own. And so one of the relationships that's really important that we maintain is, again, with ourselves, among our group. We want to make sure that our membership begins to develop a sense of ownership, if you will, in the group, right? Because if you feel like you're a part of something, you're gonna want to take better care of it. And as a leader, I'll tell you that one of the biggest challenges that we have is in recruiting active participants, getting people to show up early and to help set up and to take care of some of the business that we do as a group. When a group gets started, I don't have time to get into all this, but we have things like, you know, somebody's got to write up the format, but there, if you want to open a bank account as a group, for example, you have to have bylaws, right? And they have to be written in a specific way, and I'm no attorney, so I'm not really particularly good at that, but I got access to the internet and I can copy stuff real well, so... Anyway, but it's important for us to recruit active participants in our group. The people who serve our group, so our servants, are speakers, right? So if we invite people to come and speak at our group and they don't have a good experience, they're not going to tell their friends and other people that have a message to share that it was a good experience. We want quite the contrary. We want people to go back and say, oh my God, I spoke in this group in Visalia. It was so cool, man. They were great, right? And you guys have always been so receptive to our speakers that's the feedback we hear. Consistently we hear, man, what a great group you guys have in Visalia. And that makes it a lot easier to get entertaining people to come and tell their story, right? So beyond that, we also have to educate and prepare and train our leaders. And this is an important element that's going to come and play not only tonight, but as we go into the future. We desperately need more people who are interested in taking some ownership in the leadership of this group. And one of the things that I have been trained to do in business, and I do it here, is I train my replacement, right? So I'm always looking for somebody that'll do what I've been doing when it's time for me not to do this anymore. And we have a few service positions, some critical service positions that are open right now. We need a secretary desperately. And so if you can be here every week, or if you can't be here, you can make sure that you can have somebody here being responsible for you. Then we want you to show up at our business meeting tonight and be willing to serve as our group secretary. Okay? So I'm going to finish with that and invite some of my peers to come and tell you more about what they do.
Thank you, Bill. My name is Mark, and I'm an alcoholic, and I'm going to talk about the secretary's position. I finished a two-year term in June as secretary, and I'm an acting secretary now until we can get a new one. The secretary's job is, and this is reading from our bylaws, assist with opening and closing of the facility each week. It requires arrival at least 60 minutes before the meeting and departure approximately 30 minutes after the meeting ends. It requires attendance at each meeting or ensuring a suitable substitute is provided. You also have to lead the business meetings and maintain the meeting minutes. Serve where needed and train replacements. This secretary's job is the most comprehensive of any meeting I've secretaried. Some of the meetings like Bridge Street, which I was the secretary there, the morning meeting, it's a one-man operation. You come in a half hour early, start the coffee, assign readers. A real easy deal. Most meetings are that way. Things are done for you. Or if you're secretary at the Alano Club, it's a pretty easy deal too, because the coffee shop part takes care of the coffee and beverages. Chairs are already set up. You already have people to clean up the place. So you literally just walk in, unlock the box, put the stuff on the table, and you're secretary. Here, you have to get here an hour early. You get here at 6 o'clock, open the door, disable the alarms, and then you wait for people to show up. We have 12 service positions, and we also have crews like from Pine and New Visions to help us do the setup and help us break down the room. The secretary's job is to make sure all of those people show up here and do their jobs, because if they don't, then it becomes the secretary's job. The secretary's job is essentially to do anything that needs doing and that is not currently being done. Now, it's a cool job if everybody shows up and everybody's on time, because then there's not much to do. You just get to sit back and watch the show. But you have the ultimate responsibility for opening and closing. What I've gotten out of that job is, when I got involved with this group, I think I had 4 months of sobriety, and Bill asked me to come aboard and help with the speakers and doing some introductions and stuff. And a couple of things happened right off the bat. The commitment to this meeting meant I had to show up every week, so I heard a great speaker every week. Now, that's a pretty good deal. The other thing was I got to meet all the other people involved in service, and I got to know their jobs. I also got to meet a lot of people in AA. My first 3 sponsees came from this meeting, because if you show up here every week, you are seen. You make contact. So this meeting has been instrumental in my becoming a part of the AA community. Again, this is a position that needs to be filled, and that's all I have. So if you're interested, stick around and give us a new secretary. Next up is Ryan, our treasurer.
All right, Ryan.
I'm Ryan, I'm an alcoholic.
Ryan.
So,
this is, I've been in this position probably for a few months now, and you know, I've been around Alcoholics Anonymous since 2005, and in and out. Never had an opportunity really to maintain any kind of consistent sobriety. This time sober has been a completely different experience for me. You know, God intervening in my drinking, removing the obsession for alcohol, and you know, like our book talks about, sanity returned for me. So a lot of opportunities have continued to present themselves. And should y'all just share a little bit of my the backstory to this? Bill asked me to speak here probably about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years. I'm from Fresno. And so I came and spoke here, and it just so happened Bill had asked me to speak here about 6 months prior to me speaking, and I had no idea that I was going to be taking a job and moving into the area. I literally moved here the week before I spoke. And so just the timing of God giving me the opportunity, you know, to meet this fellowship, not only that, but to start to take an interest to this group, because when I did speak here, I got such a warm welcome that, you know, with a lot of the treatment centers that are here, a lot of the guys and girls that are, you know, whether you're getting out of prison, jail, or just this new venture in sobriety, saw an opportunity to really meet a lot of you know, newer people in sobriety. When I took this position, I had a little bit of understanding. Probably like most of you, it's not too hard to get an idea of what my position is or what the treasurer position is, especially when I'm telling you about finances. But what I want to do is, General Service does a really good job at explaining what our positions are, and that's really where kind of the structure of these positions come from. We have the 12 traditions, the 12 concepts, and really the 12 steps that as an individual, I think you work the 12 steps because that's our focus, to work the 12 steps to get a relationship with God and be in a place where we can be useful. For somebody like me where I stole, you know, money and quite a few other things when I was out there, to be in a position here where I'm trusted with finances and I can be trusted, is a demonstration of what Alcoholics Anonymous does, what God can do. So just to kind of give you a brief, a pretty good view of what the treasurer position is. So this is kind of an interesting two things, is spirituality and money. So in this information I have, it says, while the work of the group treasurer often involves many details, it is important to remember that the money the treasurer oversees serves a spiritual purpose. It enables each group to fulfill its primary purpose of carrying the AA message, like Bill spoke about, to the alcoholic who still suffers. This is the fundamental work of AA, and to continue it, the group must keep the doors open. The group treasurer is an important part of this 12-step work. You know, here at this group, I believe the position changes every 2 years, is the hope. And so the position of group treasurer is one of the most responsible positions in any AA group. While there is no standard length of sobriety, most groups like this group does require a length of sobriety, especially to be trusted with the money of the group. To take on the position of group treasurer, many groups suggest that the treasurer should have a reasonable period of sobriety, at least 6 months to a year or more. It is also suggested that group treasurers be well-grounded in the 12 traditions and be familiar with the principles and practices of the group itself. What was helpful for me was working the steps, having my own experience, and having a sponsor and, you know, members in the fellowship teach me and show me what the traditions were about. You know, to really respect Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole and set aside my opinions or my personality. Passing the basket, it talks about, it says the traditional means of assuring that the group is self-supporting is to pass the basket. Since there are no dues or fees for AA membership, those members attending the meeting are asked to make a voluntary contribution to help cover the group's expenses and to support local services and the services of your General Service office. To typically after the basket is passed, the group treasurer takes charge of the money collected. So part of my position, my responsibility is to take the money that you guys donate to the to our Sevens tradition, keep track of it, and taking those finances, reporting to the group in the business meeting how much money we have, like I reported to you guys, but also being responsible of putting the money in the bank and keeping good track of it. So if maybe finances are a difficult thing, maybe wait a little while before you look at being a treasurer, or be open to learning. And then it goes on, it says the group treasurer takes reasonable precautions to safeguard the group's funds. Many groups keep the group's treasurer in a bank checking account in the group's name, which is what we do here. This provides security against accidental loss, and it goes on to explain the importance of having dual signatures. So there's things that we do as a group to make sure that your money is going where it belongs and that it's not being pocketed or anything like that. And so disbursement of the group's funds. The group treasurer is usually the person responsible for paying the group's routine bills and for keeping accurate record of the group's funds, like I shared. What we do here at this fellowship is I'll keep track of the funds that you guys are donating to the group, and in the business meeting I'll report that, and we take what's called a group conscience. So whoever's there at the business meeting, if you guys are interested to see, you know, how the decisions are made or where the money is going, come to the business meeting. The group conscience, we as a whole decide where our money is going to go. And prudent reserve. So I'll explain this real quick. Most groups try to build a certain amount of money in reserve. There is no predetermined amount for such a reserve. Here at this group, we have, as I mentioned, $275 prudent reserve. And group service or general services, our experience shows that an accumulation of AA funds for unspecified purposes beyond a prudent level may divert a group's attention from carrying the AA message to the alcoholic. So this isn't about profit. You know, what we do here at this group, which has been an absolute pleasure in being a part of, is when we get over to a certain amount, once we cover our prudent reserve and we're able to pay for our basic bills, that extra money is going to other services. So general service, H&I, well, that's a whole separate thing, excuse me, central office, and a few other services, because our primary purpose is for the alcoholic and not to be distracted by our finances. And so what it's been like for me having this position is before I took this position, it was presented me to take on a different position, maybe a position that I thought was a little bit more attractive. The last position I really wanted to do was the treasurer, because there's a lot of responsibility and it's really not that exciting. So I thought. The whole point of taking on a service position was to be in service, was to serve you guys and set aside my own personal gain for the good of the group. And so taking on this position, while at first it was a little stressful, because the last thing I want to do is screw up our finances, what it's been for me is it brought a lot of gratitude to see what the 12 steps and what God has done in me to go from where I was at to being a trusted servant with your finances, knowing that I can take good care of it. So with that, I will call on the next. It would be Nora.
Thank you, Ryan. And next up, our phone list is speaker, Captain Nora.
All right, Nora.
I have the most fun job. Sorry, Ryan doesn't, but I do. 11 months ago when I first came here, I was really intimidated by all of you guys, but we had something in common. I just got out of rehab, so I was like, oh, my peeps are in the house, so I know I can get along with you guys real well. I have two positions from this meeting. The first one is, introduce the speakers. I interview them when they first get here. I have the privilege, actually, to get to know them a little better. You know, a few questions that I ask, it kind of starts the conversation, and I get, again, like I say, the privilege to get to know them better. I have made a lot of friends in this meeting, and being of service has been very helpful for me. Being new like you guys, I consider myself a newcomer, and having commitments on the meetings that you go to, it does help you to stay sober. Why? Because you know they're counting on you, and it's a good feeling to show up and know that, oh, I did it again. And it becomes a habit to be accountable for the people that you are serving, you know, which is you guys. So no matter how I feel, how bad my day is, I know that I'm going to come here and I'm going to see you all, and I'm going to be really happy, and I'm going to try to keep you engaged, you know, in the meeting, try to be funny. Believe it or not, that's in this job description over here. I don't do that very well, but, you know, practice, you know, makes perfect. And most of all, you know, it's helping me stay sober, and you guys are helping me to stay sober. And I will read a little bit of the things that, you know, my job here is. Let's see, interview the speaker, introduce them each week. Optionally, may leave the meeting too. Requires arrival at least 30 to 40 minutes. Try my best. When you have kids, that's kind of hard sometimes, but I'm still here as early as possible. If we don't have a speaker, luckily, you know, Bill always takes care of that and finds a replacement for us. Be creative and fun. So you guys think I'm creative and fun?
Yeah!
Thank you. We did say that we were going to allow you to ask questions, but we're running out of time, so I'm going to ask the questions. And I'm not in charge. I don't like doing that at all. You know, it's not, you know, who I am. With train replacements, Ryan is my replacement. So in case that I'm not here, then I just give him a call, and I make sure that somebody, that Ryan or whoever is available in our group, can replace me. I'm also in charge of the phone list. And what that is, to make sure that everybody that comes and is new to this group, if you find somebody that you like and you get to know their name and you're too embarrassed to ask for their phone number, you can get a phone list, and maybe in the privacy of your home, you have the courage to call that person. Sometimes, you know, we are attracted to people and we are too shy. I was very shy when I first came here. I didn't want to talk to you guys. And that's changed, and it's because of this program that I am more open to, you know, get to know people, to think that you don't have a reason why you're talking to me, because I always feel that if you're talking to me, it's because you need something or you want something from me. And so all of those things on the, you know, close to a year that I've been on this meeting have been a very, very big impact for my sobriety. So be of service, that's all I can say. You know, I'm not telling you to be of service, but I'm telling you that that's what's helped me. And if I can get sober and stay sober, and being one of the, I'll say my secret weapon is be involved. You know, if they ask you to do something, do it. I have a sponsor that's really strict. You know, the first thing she told me was, if they ask you to do something, you say yes. And so first, I don't even know how to say no, and then I have my sponsor telling me that I have to say yes to everything. But, you know, it's helped me. So if you guys take anything from what I said tonight, be of service. It will help you to stay sober, and I love you guys very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Nora. And up next, David, our volunteer coordinator.
My name is David. I am an alcoholic. As your volunteer coordinator, and I've been prompted here to read this, my duties is pretty much to assign the readers, greeters, openers, setup, and closing. And most of it's already done by the time I get here. You guys from Pine and Turning Points all show up earlier than I get here. You do the setup. As far as volunteers, it's the main part for me is finding readers and greeters. And that's a lot of fun because I get to interact with you guys. And as far as getting my, as what it does for my sobriety, is it allows me to interact and learn. My philosophy is that no matter what I'm doing, I'm learning about one of three things, and that's you, me, and God. Because every situation that I'm in contact with teaches me about one of those three entities. And it helps me to fine-tune or to even reflect on how I handle situations. Because life is about handling situations. And being of service, I'm 17 years sober, January 23rd, 1998, and my life has been a life of service ever since, mainly because I knew if I did not have this change in lifestyle, because before I got here, my life was all about me. Now it has to be about you. And what's really phenomenal about it is that when I make my life about you, the rewards I get from it are phenomenal. I can't even ask about it or tell about it because it happens spontaneous. And all I have to do is just, step up and be of service. And I get something from it that's indescribable. For me, my spiritual life is the only life I possess today, because I know that this life is not mine. This is just loaned to me. I just get to do this for a minute. But the other thing I get to do for eternity, and so I dig that, I don't know about y'all guys, but I dig that part. But I have to do certain things and I have to learn certain things down here. And for 48 years of my life, I refused to learn those things, those spiritual things that I was supposed to learn and that I was created to learn, I refused to learn. Now I learn them. And what I've learned is that life is about other people. And somebody said something earlier, and I may owe him an amends, and somebody said, I'm not my brother's keeper. I said, yes, we are. I am my brother's keeper. And that's the only keeper I have, is my brother. And that's what I try to do today. My name is David R. Hart.
Thank you, David. And next up, our facilities and opening captain, Dan.
I could never follow Ryan, so I'm not going to go in the depth that he did. Great job. What I do, let me find my thing here. I have two positions. I'm the opening captain, and I'm also facility coordinator, and they kind of work hand in hand, because facility coordinator makes sure that the chairs are in working order and everything gets back and the facilities are working. If the toilet breaks, I got the plunger, I guess. So anyway, but opening captain, I organize a team to prepare the facility for the meetings. And what I do is what Mark shared with the secretary, I work hand in hand and get here about an hour before. And if the person that I've got to set up isn't here, then I've got to do it. Or I've got to get somebody to help me. So, the secretary and the opening captain get everything put together so you guys have a chair to put your rear end in and a sound system to hear us speak. That is the main thing. And we've been blessed in this group again with Pine and Turning Point and some of the other organizations that have volunteered to come early and help set up. So that helps an old guy not have to move all these chairs around and stuff. But it is a blessing to be of service. When I started in this group, one of the main reasons I started in this group is that Bill Hatchman's my sponsor. And I've been here the whole 7 years. And I think I'm the only one that's done each position. Because what happened, I would be the substitute. So I'm unique in that I've done every position, that a service position that is here. But I'm unique and I'm the only one that ever got fired from a position. And it wasn't because I drank or whatever. I was asked to do the secretary position. I'm not secretary, the treasurer position. And math has never been my long suit. So I never lost any money or anything, but every time I'd give it to Bill to reconcile, it would take him about an hour and a half to figure out what the heck I did. And so I am unique in this group. But I tell you, I love what I do. I love meeting all the people. I love working with all these people up here. We get a special relationship with each and every one of them. And if you miss being of service, you really miss out in AA. AA. And I want to thank you for allowing me to be of service to you. Thank you.
Mike. Unfortunately, we are out of time. You know, we have seven more people that we didn't get to. We have Mike here, who's our sound and stage captain. And Bobby back there has the key position of hospitality captain. We didn't get to hear from him. Jeff is our closing captain. Terry, media captain. Ken is our Al-Anon family group liaison. Alyssa is the ship captain. Brett's our parking lot attendant. And Phil is our volunteer at large. We did not get to hear from them, but they are valuable people in our group. Yeah?
Coffee guy. Hospitality, the coffee guy.
Anyway, I'm going to turn the meeting back over to Nora.
Okay, the Valley Group encourages sponsorship and service to our fellowship. We invite you to come early and stay after the meeting to get better acquainted with our fellowship. If you're a member of our group or wish to contact a member, please see me, which I maintain the phone list, so give me your digits. David is our volunteer coordinator. Dan is our opening captain. Jeff is our closing captain. If you'd like to be of service of this group, please be sure to talk to one of them. Let's give them a hand. Our business meetings are held at 6 p.m. on the last Wednesday of each month. If you consider yourself a member of this group, we invite you to serve our group with your participation. I'd like to thank Turning Point for breaking down and coming in early to set up as well. Let's give them a hand, Turning Point. Thank you, Turning Point. We also want to thank our parking lot attendant, our coffee maker, Bobby. Give him a hand. And our greeters, oh, Lord, Brandy, Natasha. Yeah, one more. Precious. Woo, got it. The table near the exit, we have a variety of AA literature. The samples are free to take, and we have books available at cost. We record our speakers each week and put recordings on our meeting CDs. Please see Terry over here. To purchase a CD or order a book. The Valley Group encourages family and friends of alcoholics to participate in the Al-Anon family group. Ken, where's Ken? Right here. Give him a hand. If you need information, please see him after the meeting. He'll be more than happy to assist you. I'd like to also draw your attention to several flyers on the table with information about service, opportunities, and AA events. As you all heard, tonight we are going to have our meeting, so if we impact you or brainwash you in any way to be of service, please stay after the meeting, and I am sure that you will enjoy being of service. We are guests of the Creative Center, and they kindly request that we be careful not to leave cigarette butts or trash that may be harmful to their students. I want to thank you for helping us to meet this request. Okay, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. We're fine. Woo. All right. One more thing. Who is reading chapter 9 tonight? What is your name? Thank you. We have asked Colleen to read chapter 9 and lead us out with a prayer. Thank you.